We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Madness at the SEC tournament, baseball tournament. The Kentucky Wildcats and Auburn were supposed to play the nightcap. It has been moved to tomorrow. Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. We welcome in now Todd Walker, SEC Network baseball analyst. Todd, it traditionally is that 3 a.m. game at the tournament. We're trying to avoid that, I guess, and moving tonight's nightcap into tomorrow. So they're going to try to squeeze five games in tomorrow?
I guess. They give you a cushion on the back end, so if they have to keep pushing it back, they can do it. But early on, when you got four games scheduled each day, it's tough. If you get a rain delay, and of course they're going to lose two games today, I think. So unless they play to 2 or 3 in the morning, which, like you said, is normally the case, they're going to have to schedule probably six games tomorrow.
Huh. Now, Todd, the stud that you were, what is the significance of this? Because I know the SEC in the competition that when you look at Southeast Conference Co-Player of the Year. I mean, not one, but you got two different players, and who are we going to vote for? So you look at Dylan Cruz from the LSU Tigers, and you got the Auburn Tigers, Sonny DeChiro, if I'm pronouncing it right. DeChiro. And then we know, like, with Cruz, his name, perfect games with National Freshman of the Year. Boy, when you talk about that and the impact, when you have, like, a co-player of the year, that's pretty competitive, because normally they give it to one guy, they don't give it to two.
You were the guy I was going to ask about this, Bobby, because it has a feel of the day and age we live in where everybody gets a trophy.
Right.
So there's co-SEC players of the week. There's a co-player of the year. I got to be honest, I'd probably rather not have it. I mean, if they gave it to me and somebody else, I mean, you can have it. I don't want it. So I'm all about, like, one guy. So we've moved into this deal where there's a lot of winners.
Pick a winner.
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it.
I'm with you, Todd. Pick a winner. Stop worrying about whose feelings you're going to hurt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can have, like, 1 and 1A, but there's still a 1,
But yeah, if you looked at both numbers, and I know the numbers, and the share is sitting close to 400. I mean, it's ridiculous. But if you look at these, anybody that gets the co-deal, one's better than the other. So pick them. Anyway,
amen.
I go on and on about that.
Todd Walker, SEC Network baseball analyst. Todd, LSU impressive closing out the season, a sweep of Vanderbilt. How many games have you watched in college baseball where in the series LSU scored 45, outscored Vanderbilt 45-15? Is that right, Bobby?
It was 42-15.
42-15, a football game.
Yeah. I mean, that was like dominant.
Well, they played Ole Miss the week before and got swept, only scored 9 runs, and that was a worse pitching staff. Then they go against Vanderbilt, who has a pretty good pitching staff, in Nashville, by the way, and scores 42 on them. So there's a certain aspect of this game that you can't predict and you can't figure out, and I don't have an answer. I mean, maybe, Jacob Berry, their best hitter, didn't play the week before, and then he got in the lineup. And it doesn't matter what he does that week, but the fact that his presence is in the lineup makes a difference. Maybe that's something to do with it. Maybe they got mad enough that they, barreled down and got after it that last weekend. Whatever they did, it was huge for their season. They got a bye in the SEC tournament, and they're probably going to host a regional.
You know what, Todd, when you look at it, I mean, unless you just a diehard and said LSU's going to win every game, I think no one thought they would sweep Vanderbilt. I was like, boy, that'd be a great showing if you went 2 out of 3. Even if you win 1, you still could be trending in the right direction. But to sweep Vanderbilt, I mean, considering the adversity against Ole Miss and the history of that, I mean, I didn't see this coming. It almost reminds me of, like, the NBA playoffs. And what I mean by like between the Celtics and the Miami Heat. Oh, it's like, oh, they got their number. And then the next game, the other team gets blown out. I mean, it's unbelievable how you just don't know. I mean, and you try and give your expertise opinion, but it's crazy how that works out.
Well, and you know, Bobby, there's ways to win championships, right? You got to have the talent. You've got to have guys do things you don't expect them to do.
Right.
You got to stay healthy. You got to stay healthy. And then ultimately, you got to get hot at the right time. And baseball lends itself more than any other sport, I believe, maybe basketball. At the end of the season, you can get really hot. NC State did it last year. And you're almost unbeatable unless the COVID gets you, like NC State.
Oh,
but,
man.
But, man, you know, when you get hot at this time of the year in baseball, it's usually from a team you don't see coming, you know?
I'm still hot about the NC State issue. I'm still hot about that.
Yeah, Christian, that was crazy, man. We actually saw it on the ticker while I was there in Omaha. I'm like, it was like at midnight. They're like, they're disqualifying NC State or most of their players. I was like, you got to be kidding me. They're going to do this. But, you know, it is what it is.
Todd, I don't know if you saw Vanderbilt this weekend. Their pitchers and their defensive players all had an electronic – Jay Johnson told me this last night – an electronic wristband that basically that's how they signaled in the pitches and stuff like that. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a way to speed the game up. You know, instead of everybody looking everywhere all over the field, it's a way, you know, supposedly to speed the game up, and that's why they do it.
You like it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's the day and age we live in, technology and all that. I think it's fine. I mean, I go a step further to say that I like when pitchers get to call their own pitches. Like, I don't need the coach, you know, signaling every pitch. I'd rather the pitcher make the decision, and then it's between the pitcher and catcher. But clearly, there's a trust factor that has to go on there first. But a lot of coaches will tell you they'd rather that. You know, they want them to learn, and they want them to be comfortable with what they're throwing.
Now, Ty, when you look at every tournament, it's obviously you're going to have the favorites and you have the dark horses. And I always take the underdog syndrome. I guess, you know, trying to play in the postseason beyond the SEC tournament, what is your take on the Kentucky Wildcats? Because, you know, I kind of think of Kentucky basketball, and that's kind of intriguing when I'm looking at, you know, kind of the bottom of the RPI, where they're at, number 54. I don't know. Tennessee was damn good, and they beat them 2-1. Whenever you beat the best, you want to throw them a bone. But and then I look at Alabama. Alabama just beat Georgia. So you look how the special SEC tournament they had last year. Is there a dark horse right now? I know it's early that you could say watch out for.
To win the tournament or to
get into the postseason and maybe make some noise?
Out of South Carolina, Kentucky, and Bama, who are in the SEC tournament playing for their lives, I like Alabama the best. Vandy and Ole Miss are automatically going to get in, but they're not going to host a regional, so they're just, you know, they're just playing for seeding and positioning. Florida, Auburn, Georgia got beat, so Georgia's not going to host either. They're going to go somewhere as a two seed. But Florida and Auburn, I like Auburn, but out of all of the teams, that it's not necessarily a dark horse. They won the West, but Texas A&M looks strong. They got the best offense in the SEC. Nathan Detmer's a real ace for them, you know, and so, but Kentucky got into the SEC tournament on the last day. So they're scratching and clawing.
Right.
And they're one of the three teams that have never won the SEC tournament along with Georgia and Missouri. So I don't really love the Kentucky team, but you know, if they make a run, they've got a real chance. They'll get into the postseason as maybe a three seed. But if you're talking about the entire SECs outside of the obvious, which would be Arkansas and Tennessee, I really like A&M.
Todd, you earlier said that you feel like LSU has put themselves in a position to host a regional. If they were to win this tournament, the SEC tournament, would that put them in the conversation to be a top eight national seed and host a regional and super regional?
It's a great question, but see, in order to do that, they got to pass up Texas A&M and Arkansas. LSU has 17 conference wins. Texas A&M, I believe, has 19, and they won the West. So, you know, it's hard to say that, well, A&M won the West, but LSU's going to pass them up and be a top eight national seed. I guess the better way to answer that is I think we're going to have two. Tennessee's going to be the number one overall seed if they don't drop to two, but I think there'll be one. And then as a field, we're going to get another one, whether it's A&M, Arkansas, or LSU. And out of those three, if somebody wins the tournament, I can see that. Like if A&M were to drop two in a row and just look as bad as Mississippi State did last year, and LSU ran the table and won the tournament without losing a game, they could pass them up, yeah. But right now, it's Texas A&M's spot to lose. I think A&M's going to be a top eight right now.
Now, Ty, when I look at this, okay, because, you know, the level you played at, what would be better? I know you want your cake and eat it too, but to be the SEC pitcher of the year or up for like the player of the year? You know, because that's going to get an offensive player. We just talked about that, the SEC players of the year. What is your take on Chase Dolander? If I'm pronouncing it right, pitcher of the year, I'm looking at he's limiting opposing hitters to 158 batting average. He's pitched, through a 62 and a third innings pitch, looking at so far, which is with strikeouts number two in the SEC. So if you can only, like, take top pitching or top hitting in a league like the SEC, what route would you go? I mean, because, you know, people talk about, oh, great pitching beats great hitting, but I want your take on that because you're the pro. I'm not.
You are a pro. But I would say that that pitching is baseball. If you've got the studs on the mound, you can win a baseball game. I would say, and we're moving toward this, it seems like we're going to have two, three pitchers of the year, and they could probably have done that with Tennessee, where you got Chase Dolander, you got Drew Beam, and you've got Chase Burns. All three of them are ridiculously good this year. And by the way, two of them are freshmen and one are a sophomore. So not only is Tennessee great this year, they're going to be good for the next couple of years. And so, and then you got Blade Tidwell, who was a starter for him last year that can't even bust into rotation. He did a little bit this year because Dolander got hurt and they're resting some guys, but they got four legit starters over there. When most teams are looking for two, Tennessee has four, and then we can go on and on about the offense and everything else that they do well. 137 home runs, just ridiculous. But baseball's pitching, Bobby. I mean, if you got Roger Clemens on the mound, for example, you win.
Todd, we talked about Dylan Cruz and co-SEC Player of the Year, but it's crazy to think that that's a big leaguer coming back again next year to play in the SEC. He's a big leaguer.
Yeah, I agree. And not only what he does offensively, but what he does on the other side of the ball as well defensively. And so that's probably why the co thing came in, because DeShera has better offensive numbers, but DeShera plays first base and Dylan Cruz plays center field, you know. And so it's a more demanding position. I'm kind of kidding about the co thing. I mean, it's quite an honor, you know, just to be mentioned and stuff like that. He's actually the Golden Spike semifinalist as well. Dylan Cruz, and what a year he's had, along with Trey Morgan and Kate Doty. They've got some offensive weapons. You know, Jacob Berry still can't hit from the left side. He's a switch hitter, so he's primarily right-handed right now. I don't know how long that's going to last, because I think he's got a broken middle finger, and that doesn't get any better unless you get surgery, and he's not going to do that this year, it doesn't seem like. So he's probably going to be hitting right-handed the rest of the year, even facing righties. And so that right-handed slider against Jacob Berry faced right-handed, he just hadn't seen a lot of those. And so it remains to be seen how good Jacob Berry is, but the offense at LSU is pretty good.
Now, Todd, to me, what I've been intrigued with, because it just shows you how you mature and how you develop as a player, considering he wasn't the top dog from the get-go, Mikhail Hilliard. I mean, I'm looking at all of a sudden looking at against Ole Miss. I don't know. He strikes the guy out, and then all of a sudden the catcher doesn't feel the ball. They're up 2-0. Then one thing leads to the other, and they're down 4-2. But Mikhail Hilliard, to me, this impressed me, Todd, that because of the SEC competition, he had 8 wins and 10 starts. And to me, considering what he's done in the past and where he's at right now in his career, I know Coach Jay Johnson had to embrace that it's not too big for him, considering the task at hand. Because we were saying, he's like a 2 or 3 guy. Well, hell, we need him right now to be the number one for LSU.
You know what you love about Mikhail Hilliard is he throws strikes and he works fast. And I would say that because of that, the defense plays better behind him. Now, I don't know the numbers. You could go look at how many errors they've made behind Mikhail Hilliard as opposed to everybody else, because they've made a lot. But I think what's great about Mikhail Hilliard is that he, for the reasons I just said, he works fast, he throws strikes, he can throw that curveball in hitters' counts, you know, in a fastball count.
Yep.
And he doesn't throw 95, he throws 85. But you like him for those reasons. So that's why he wins. And I think in this day and age when we're enamored by velocity, and wipe out, you know, third strike pitches, I think we've lost sight of the fact that if a guy just works fast and throws strikes, he can win. And Mikhail here is a perfect example of that.
I remember Greg Maddux, man, 91, 88, yep. 91 miles an hour, but was deadly.
He would get Todd. You probably went against Greg Maddux. He was my neighbor in Alpharetta, Georgia. I'm looking at John Smoltz or Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine. And I'm going back to the 90s now. I was that game sitting in the wife section, and I'm looking at Greg Maddux, and he's getting people out throwing the ball 84 miles an hour.
But Greg Maddux will tell you. Greg Maddux will tell you he wanted to throw softer, not harder. He wanted guys to put the ball in play. He didn't want them to swing and miss because he wanted a 50 pitch count through five or six innings. He wanted to keep his pitch count. He wanted you to swing at it because you're going to hit it off the end of the bat and hit a little dribbler somewhere.
Todd Walker, SEC Network baseball analyst. Appreciate the time, Todd. Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah,
Todd,
thank
man.
You guys. Appreciate
all
it.
Right. All right. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Damn, he's good, Christian. You know, if you're good or you're not good, man, that guy's good. He knows his stuff. So that's why I like Todd. One of the greatest LSU baseball players ever and just a good announcer, analyst. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. We got to go to a break.
Go Tigers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.